thank you all for making the time to join us on this call this morning, where we are reporting to the market on the Mediclinic Middle East integration process and a trading update. Also joining me on the call this morning is Jurgens Myburgh, our new CFO. So welcome, Jurgens. As you are all aware, we completed the combination of the Al-Noor and the Mediclinic business in February this year, creating a leading private healthcare provider in the Middle East. We firmly believe that our growth strategy in the Middle East is the right one to deliver long-term value to all stakeholders. Opportunities in the region for the private healthcare remain strong. So, combining these businesses that effectively doubled our size of our presence in the region was the right decision. The integration of the Al-Noor business is advancing well, with a new management team in place since March this year and the completion of a strategic review of the business in June. We've acted very quickly and achieved a lot in a short space of time since the combination. Excellent work has been done to focus on unlocking synergies, and I'm pleased to say that we have identified 75 million dirham of annualized synergies. That is an increase of 50% from where we last updated you at the full year results. Further work in this area is potentially going to result in further savings. A significant amount of savings is related to headcount efficiencies in predominantly backspace or back office personnel. We expect the benefit of these savings to largely be realized in the second half of this year. There is also one-off cost to realize these savings of approximately 20 million dirham, and this will be largely recorded in the first half of this year, but excluded from underlying EBITDA. The underlying business in Dubai is meeting our expectation despite the late opening of the North Wing at Mediclinic City Hospital, which increased the total overall bed capacity of the hospital by 27. Since the opening of the unit a few days ago, the activity levels that we are seeing have given us plenty of confidence going forward for this year. Despite all this good work, we believe that revenue growth for the current financial year will be lower than expected for inter alia the following reasons. Recruiting and retaining of quality clinical staff remains a priority for us. The loss of doctors from Al-Noor prior to and around the time of the combination has now stabilized, and we have a successful recruitment program running in line to what we have in place in Dubai. The last month, we saw 12 new doctors joining, and I would expect that this number will continue and build up. But it's important that we recruit the right specialist for the long-term business. Regulatory changes in July with the introduction of the co-payment of the TICA members, those are the Emirates or the local Emiratis give them cover, is expected to impact us this year, both on the patient mix and volume. This will have to be monitored and managed effectively, included and managed effectively, including ongoing dialogue with the relevant stakeholders. Finally, some ramp-up delays of new units, including the Al Johara Hospital in Al Ain, are expected to impact on the financials this year, reducing our revenue forecast by 75 million dirham. I'm pleased to say that we expect the Al Johara Hospital to be commissioned in October, making an additional 40 beds available to the group. As part of our strategic review of the Middle Eastern platform, we wanted to ensure that the business was right-sized. As a result, non-core facilities were identified, and two of these are in the process of being sold. Stripping out the expected contribution from these two units, it will reduce our revenue forecast for the year by 50 million dirham. Whilst our expectations for the business in the medium term remain unchanged and the process of the business integration continues, we do expect an impact on this year's financial results. Our guidance for the 2016-17 financial year for revenue growth for the Middle Eastern platform is low to mid single digit and underlying EBITDA margins of mid to high teens. I would like to emphasize that due to the seasonal nature of the business and the fact that we are just coming out of a summer season and Ramadan, that the performance of the Middle Eastern platform will be materially weighted to the second half of this year. So, in summary, we are very comfortable with our strategy in the Middle East as we grow our presence in the region and believe in the medium to long-term prospects of the business. Mediclinic is experienced at acquisitions and consequent integration processes, and in particular in aligning business practices with what we regard as sustainable and in best interest of all stakeholders. The synergy work will continue, and I am sure that we will be able to unlock further synergy. The rest of our operating platforms are performing in line with our expectations, including the underlying Dubai business. Finally, we look forward to updating you on the group's trading for the first 5 months of the year during the last week of September. That concludes the intro. So thank you for your time, and I'll now hand over to the operator to take your questions.
Ladies and gentlemen, if you would like to ask a question, please press star followed by one on your telephone keypad now. If you change your mind, please press star followed by two. When preparing to ask your question, please ensure your phone is unmuted locally. Our first question is from Kane Slutskin from UBS. Kane, please go ahead.
Hi, good morning, guys. Just on, you mentioned the integration of Al Noor has advanced well. Just interested to know, has there been anything since you took over that maybe you weren't expecting? You know, I would imagine you obviously did your due diligence, but, you know, just maybe something in the closet that maybe you weren't expecting or something positive, any sort of insight you could give us?
Kane, thank you. I think the first response is no, nothing material. But when you do a due diligence, there are certain things and practices that you are not aware of. And as I said in the intro, our first focus is to align operational processes and practices, clinical practices, billing practices, etc., in line to what we believe is in the long-term interest of the business and also in the interest of patients. So there were certain things that we aligned that had a impact, but nothing material that we missed, or nothing, and I think that is very important, that made us worry that we did the wrong or the acquisition will not bring us benefits in the long term.
All right, thanks, guys.
Our next question is from Sean Ungerer from Aquam Capital. Sean, please go ahead.
Good morning, everybody. Just in terms of the vacancies, could you possibly just elaborate a little bit further on that and maybe chat around the number of doctors sort of pre-acquisition and post-acquisition? And then just to sort of touch on the co-payment issue, could you maybe just chat a little bit more how you expect that to impact the patient mix, I'm guessing, and also just sort of following on from your site visit, the sort of initiatives to perhaps reduce the exposure to the basic mix? And then just lastly, in terms of the Al Jawhara ramp-up, could you maybe comment about the EBITDA impact? Thanks.
All right, Sean, thank you. I've tried to scribble down all your questions, so my colleagues will bear me out. Let I start with the doctors. I don't want to go into detail of numbers, but what is encouraging for us, I specifically requested the data of doctors moving. And if I look at 6 months prior to our engagement, 6 months prior to that, and then the last 5 months since we're involved, the number of doctors who left in the last 5 months is almost a third of a comparable 6 months prior to that, which is encouraging. I think if I look at the appointments of the last 5 months, we had a positive 7 doctors joining the Al Noor business. But what we must realize in the Middle East, when you recruit doctors specifically from abroad, there are a lot of regulatory issues. There are licensing, et cetera, that takes time. And for that reason, the whole recruitment focus will be aligned to what we achieved well in the Dubai business, and that is looking at what we call community-based doctors, those guys who have an established practice who are supporting some other hospitals and how to attract them to support us. The guys are also very focused to look at doctors who left us in prior periods, and if they are the right doctors, and I want to emphasize that, we want to have doctors that we can build our business on in the long term, also to attract some of those. But in parallel with that, we will do the normal recruitment from outside the UAE. In this regard, we also transferred on a permanent basis one of our HR experts in South Africa. He's been with the group for 26 years, Juan Balan. I still appointed him. So he just joined last week. And recruitment of doctors will be a very high priority. And David Hadley and Tarek Fateh are personally taking responsibility for that. So that is the doctors. In terms of patient mix, reality is that the co-payment was introduced only the 1st of July. And for those of you knowing the region, July is a quiet period. It's summertime. It is just around the Ramadan time. They are busy with Eid holidays at the moment. So it is not a normal period, but we used what we picked up as an indication, factored it in, because the numbers that we give you today are the numbers where the local team really went into the data to produce budgets going forward, taking all these factors in. The uncertainty to me is if people must do a 80% co-payment to control and to impact overutilization on outpatients, you can still say it's fair. But if people must do a 20% co-payment for a heart bypass operation, where maybe some of the better clinicians will be in the private sector, my normal response is I think some of the Emiratis will object. They will say they haven't got the same choice as expatriates. Some of them might have the money to pay it. So we will have to see how it play out. But very important is we build new good relations with the authorities and the paymasters in terms of a transparent business, sustainable business, where what we charge, they can trust and we can engage on it. So we will build those relations. We will watch it. That is our best estimate at this stage. We haven't got enough time to really see what that impact is. That is the patient mix. Then, Al-Juhara, your question was
the impact on EBITDA. So Al-Juhara, the original anticipation was for Al-Juhara to be open from the beginning of the financial year. As Dani indicated in the opening remarks, we expect a revenue delta there of $75 million as a result of the delay. So you can work on, and you know, the average EBITDA margin for the region to back solve that. But just to bear in mind that obviously because for the first 6 months it would not have been operational, the effect on first half versus second half will be quite material.
Okay, sure, great, thanks. I mean,
did we cover your questions?
Yes, thanks very much. Sorry, just a quick one, just following up on the patient mix. Do you mind just reminding us what the patient mix in Abu Dhabi sort of stands at the moment?
I haven't got, and I might sound that we don't want to answer the question, but I don't want to go into the detailed questions. If I can give you an indication, the Tikwa patients make up between 25% and 27% of business there. The white card is creeping up, and in the previous management plans, they also planned some dedicated facilities catering for these white cards. For those not familiar with the term, it's those with, let's call it, basic insurance. And just to put it into perspective, the annual premium for those basic insurance is around 600 dirhams per annum. So you can just work those out. So that is not typically our business. In Dubai, we don't do that business. So we are in a process to right-size and to strategize the business in the Abu Dhabi world. It will have some medium or short-term impacts on us, but long-term, I'm absolutely confident that if we replicate the principles, the processes that we've put in Dubai, we will be good for the future.
Thanks very much.
Our next question is from Roy Campbell from Morgan Stanley. Roy, please go ahead.
Good morning. Thanks very much for your time. Can I please ask for just a little bit more clarity on the guidance that you've given for the year ahead? So you've guided for single digit revenue growth, and you've mid to high teen margins. Are we comparing a base year that includes just a portion of Alnua in your FY16 financial year and the full year of FY17? And the margin pressure that looks like it's coming through would then obviously all be a function of Alnua coming into the Middle East platform. And the revenue growth, is that really a function of the 75 million adjustments from Al Jawhara and your non-core assets? If you can just maybe give us a little bit more color around the guidance, please. Thank you.
Okay, let me start with your second question first. On revenue, it is a combination of the factors that we've mentioned in the announcement around recruitment, aligning business practices and processes, the disposals that we've indicated, as well as Al Jawhara. So it's a combination of factors that's affecting the revenue line. So just your first question around the base that we're projecting off is the pro forma of 3.392 billion dirhams that we gave you at the FY16 year end. So that's the base that we're projecting off and the base that we're guiding off.
Roy, if I can just give a little bit more color, and as I say, I don't want to be drawn into the detail, but we refer to aligning business practices, clinical practices, etc. We, as MediClinic, do not believe in paying doctors for downstream activity. It's not illegal, but it drives certain behavior that we believe is not in the long-term interest of the business, the shareholders, and definitely not the patients. So we change certain things to align it. For instance, we will not remunerate doctors on pathology, radiology, lab, pharmaceutical prescriptions. We like to pay doctors on volume or activity and in terms of quality and not those. And when you change those sort of things, you do see that all of a sudden patients don't need all these investigations anymore. But it is not sustainable, we believe, to do it the other way around. So all those factors worked into a revenue decline. But am I worried about it? Obviously, we'd like to see revenue to go up. But I'll rather do the surgery now and take it on the nose, get the foundation right and build it from there. And as you might know, I was in Dubai myself when we started the business in 2005-06. It is not very dissimilar to what we actually inherited in Dubai. It was just on a much smaller scale. So we made some alignment. I'm comfortable. It's sustainable. If I can elaborate on it, if you then engage with payors and with government, I feel much better to fight hard for tariff increases on that basis instead of trying to defend certain practices. And I think that summarizes our attitude and our alignment process.
Perfect. Thanks very much.
Our next question is from Hans Bostrom from Credit Suisse. Hans, please go ahead.
Yeah, good morning, gentlemen. Following up on Roy's questions, I just wanted to understand, you talked, at the time of your five-year visit, we attended your business in June about a 20 to 21% EBITDA margin, as far as I remember. Obviously, now talking about mid to high teens for obvious reasons, but I suppose the question is really how long it might take to get back to those expected levels or previously expected levels. Is this a three-year project now or more of a one-year project given the enhanced synergies you're talking about? And secondly, could I clarify when the expected divestments are going to take place so that we have a sense of how much it might impact the comparator for next year's growth rate? Thank you.
Maybe just on the EBITDA margins, did I start on the long term? I've got no reason to believe that margins in the long term need to be lower than what it is, for instance, in the South African business. We've said it before. In terms of how long, we talked about medium term. It'll remain unchanged. We work hard to get it up as hard as we can. I can't give you an exact amount, a timeline, but as we progress, obviously, we will update the market on the progress. We will, in a very short time, update you just before our close of the 6 months. And if there's any indication that we can give you further, we will do so. But I don't want to commit myself to an exact date and time. The second question.
On the divestments,
the one unit has been sold. It's done. The second one will be in very short time, I hope in weeks that we're talking about. It is heat at the moment. We don't want to talk too directly in terms of the units. But the one that we've sold was a long-term care facility. It was also home care type of orientated. They had a small business running in Woman. Management time spent on a small business in Woman, traveling there, it's just not feasible. So we got rid of it. That one is done. The other one we're busy with, and it will be very short term, then we should conclude on those.
So Hans, as a base, you can use 6 months.
Okay, great.
On both of them. To be excluded, yeah.
Excellent. Thank you very much.
Our next question is from Matthew Menezes from Citi. Matthew, please go ahead.
Thanks very much. A couple of questions, please. So the first is around the 50% co-payment on care that is now required for sicker patients outside of Abu Dhabi. Do you think there's any material negative impact on City Hospital or for sicker patients that used to go there that now will opt not to? And then following up on the previous question, you said sort of 25 to 27% of the Abu Dhabi business was thicker. Is that on a patient basis or a revenue basis? Because if I assume on a revenue basis, if that is on a patient basis, then on a revenue basis, it's significantly higher than that. Pardon?
Just to give you a direct answer, that is on revenue basis.
Okay, and then I think... Lastly, sorry to hop on about the doctors, but I believe under Al Noor they used to try and tie doctors in, so you couldn't have sort of a huge flux in the number of doctors leaving at any one point of time. Was there something related to a change in ownership or a change in structure that came in when you acquired Al Noor that meant that could change and it was more easy for doctors to leave and go to competition?
Okay, is that that?
Yeah.
Okay, first question. Hi, Matthew. Thank you. The 50% coma payment outside Abu Dhabi, we don't factor a big impact in the number of people we see in the City Hospital are not that great. Secondly, and I don't want to guess, but if people go to Dubai outside of Abu Dhabi, that is because they firmly believe it is better quality and whatever is going with it. So I think the ability of those people to even do the co-payment, I think it's better. I also believe we must work with the authorities to say they must almost see that as an alternative for them to pay in full when patients go abroad. So that is work in process, and the local team will engage. We've got very good relations with the authorities, specifically the MON. But we didn't factor in a material impact due to that. That is the first question. The doctors, I think your question is around whether we tie doctors in to make it difficult for them to go. We don't, as a rule, have that unless we paid for doctors to come in. Who's coming afresh, then there's a certain period that we recoup the cost related to the recruitment, etc., if they leave early. Our philosophy has always been, don't lock people in who don't want to be with you. They can cause more damage than anything else, but we don't want to lose on direct cost. So the answer is no. The fact that we came in didn't change any agreements or tie up operations, not at all. And the numbers that I quoted earlier on, more guys left in the previous 12 months, broken down in 6 month period, than what happened in the last 5 months since we're involved. Almost a third list, and we had a positive gain. So, and the previous management wasn't there for a long time, but they also started the cleanup process of certain doctors who were not in line with certain quality standards, etc. So that also had an impact on the previous period. I'm very comfortable and very positive about our ability to track doctors with our track record in the Middle East. and they are not big numbers I can link to it, but speaking to David yesterday, some of the doctors are even coming to say they would like to come, but then they would like to work for MediClinic. And I think the name and the brand name is something that we will have to manage very carefully as well. So it is not a worsening of the case. It's a stabilization and picking up, but it do take time. That is the reality.
So follow on, will you combine the recruitment efforts of the previous Alnoa, of Alnoa and MediClinic Middle East, so you
absolutely
sort of have one consolidated effort?
Absolutely.
And then, I guess, as you switch over, does it reduce your ability to recruit over a short period of time as that transition happens?
Recruiting in the Middle East is quite a complex process, specifically to try to recruit from the subcontinent and from Egypt, etc. And for that reason, the better your name, you became a magnet sort of effect that people apply themselves. We will institute some measures, for instance, using our own crowdsourcing, so to speak, to use our doctors, pay them a recruitment fee if they can bring us doctors that will be with us and be successful for a reasonable time, let's say 6 months. Those are some of the things we are looking at. But combining our center of excellence knowledge of recruitment as between Dubai and Abu Dhabi and for the region is our strategy. What we said before, the central management of the region is moving into a combined office on the Abu Dhabi side of Dubai. They hope to move in the next 2 months. There will be one central support system. We will migrate IT support, HR support, etc. to one point to have that combined IP to be applied to the bigger region there.
Okay, cool. Thanks very much, Johnny.
Thanks, Matthew.
Our next question is from Jamie Clark from Bank of America Merrill Lynch. Jamie, please go ahead.
Hey, good morning, guys. A few questions, please. Firstly, in terms of the doctors leaving as you align business practices, you're obviously expecting some kind of impact when you gave your guidance. So why do you think that the impact was greater than you originally expected? Secondly, can you give us an idea of what assumptions you're making for the impact of the Theta changes? It is a slow summer season, and I guess you don't have that much data. So how conservative or aggressive do you think you're being on that? And thirdly, you said you divested a long-term care facility because of distance. Is it anything to do with the cuts to the reimbursement rates for long-term care in Abu Dhabi? Thanks.
You were talking quite quickly, Jamie. Good morning. Maybe
morning.
Just to catch up for what I jotted down. The first thing is, what is the impact of the TICA co-payment? As I said, we are not going to give you detail. We try to be realistic, not aggressive or conservative. We try to be realistic, but we will have to manage it. We did factor something in that we think is realistic. Secondly, question was the disengagement from long-term. Without going into detail, long-term care means that you have people sometimes living with families, and you must still accommodate them for accommodation, etc. It's a complex word. If you want to regulate that business, in our view, it's going to cost you more. If you play according to the rules that we like to play, we think that is not such a wonderful business. That is our current view, and that is the main reason why we disengage. And it's actually some of the management who decided to buy it out. So we got rid of it at a good price. We're happy with that. And that is a key reason. The other question was?
The first question was around impact of doctors now versus at the time that we took the business over. And I would say that the answer to that is probably very similar to one Donny gave on Theta, is that what we've done now is a deep dive on understanding what the impact has been now that we've, you know, we've had a couple of months into the new financial year. And we've tried to be very realistic about what we think the impact of that is going to be for the rest of the financial year. We've now had a chance to really get under the hood, so to speak. And we're using that to transparently update the market. And that's exactly what we're doing.
Okay, thanks. And just a quick follow-up on your increased synergy target. Can you give us an idea of where those synergies have been realized? In the same areas you'd identified before or new areas?
First one is staff. I think you guys always came to the conclusion as well that staff, let's say high-level comparisons, it seems like the old Mediclinic business was more efficient. We got rid of close to 400 staff members at this stage, which is quite significant. And we, as we said in the update, we believe we can do still a little bit more, but we don't want to be too aggressive too soon. We combined our procurement, and one of the big elements, I can highlight one, is we've got two central labs for Dubai and Abu Dhabi. And the reagents, the chemicals that you use to do all the tests, they are significantly expensive. And combining that, went out to tender, we dropped a couple of million just by doing that. We also combined our procurement in a structure that we can now get benefits even on the Dubai side, and those were the key ones where we realized benefits. And we will still do that. It'll take time to realize all the benefits, but we're going in the right direction and actually at quite a steep incline in the beginning.
Brilliant. Thank you.
Thank you, Jamie.
Our next question is from Avinash Kakaprasad from Deutsche Bank. Avinash, please go ahead.
Hi, guys. Thanks very much for the update. A couple of questions from my side. The first one, just a sort of overview of the supply-demand situation in both Abu Dhabi and Dubai. My thinking is that if all of these Zika patients start going into the public facilities, those public facilities might actually be overrun and you might have to reverse the decision. So that's the first one. Second one, you've offered guidance on UAE EBITDA margins as a whole, so that's sort of mid to high teens. If we assume that Dubai hasn't had a material negative impact, I haven't seen anything major on it, that margin's sitting at about 22%. Does that mean that Abu Dhabi is probably around the 13 to 14% level? Then the other question, have you guys given any thought around the potential impact of the 50% co-payment on patients getting offshore? In other words, can you improve your revenue within Abu Dhabi by keeping some of those procedures onshore? And then the last one, just around Spire, any update around the operations and you guys still happy with your 29.9% stake?
Starting with the last one, Avinash, you have another question, sorry?
No, that's it.
Starting with your last question, Spire, we're updating on Spire today, but we are pretty happy with our investment there. And as per the last update of 6 months results, you saw the numbers there. So overall, we're still very happy with our investment. Secondly, in terms of the offshore keeping people in the region, it's a political one, but I alluded to it earlier on. Even if we take people from Abu Dhabi that voluntarily come to Dubai for surgery, now if they must do the 50% co-payment, compared to where government subsidized them in totality with a full entourage to go to London or Germany or wherever, I think it's a cheaper alternative. And we need to hammer on that door to bring that to the authorities. So yes, we are aware of it. Can we deliver on it tomorrow? I can't promise that. I don't think it's just likely that it'll happen, but we are aware of it. It's a gap, and we must get that insight in those authorities making the decisions. In terms of general supply...
Sorry, just to follow up on that, Danny, what is the reason for them going offshore for the treatment? Is it a lack of ability within the hospitals in Abu Dhabi and Dubai to actually treat them?
If you ask my own opinion, and based maybe on the time that I was personally there, and it's a personal view, there are two authorities authorizing offshore treatment, if I remember correctly, it's Department of Health and then Department of Defense. So within those structures, they make the call. And when Emiratis come to these with a big reason why they believe they will get the best treatment in Harley Street or in wherever, and I don't know what is the decision mechanism, sometimes they decide, and not necessarily on the availability of the speciality or on the quality, but then the government fund quite a portion. There's an entourage of family members, etc., etc. So I think we can convince the guys, but I think there's more a political angle to it as well.
just to say no. But we know there are big numbers in there, but we haven't made big inroads in that in the years that we've been there. On the supply-demand side, PICA, we are very confident, and a good indication is the number of competitors coming in, small people nibbling on the side. So the supply-demand is there. The government institutions, if you exclude the big, almost white elephant sitting there, Cleveland, I'm not aware that they've got major capacity. So that might pan out, but I'm not informed enough to give you a pure sort of indication of that. But obviously, if that is the case, they cannot absorb big numbers in there. If you combine the private sector, if they now theoretically lose all the TICA patients. But I think the driving force or the real force that we need to take into account is locals are demanding people, they've got money, and they will keep the government busy in terms of why can't I choose for my surgery, but an expat can go to any hospital. And I think those sort of dynamics will come out in play, but we will have to evaluate over time.
I mean, that's your question on the EBITDA margin. And clearly, we don't split that out anymore. But we've given guidance for the region as a whole, as you correctly pointed out. But the conclusion that you're making is not incorrect. If you do the math, you'll come to the conclusion that if Dubai is in line, then mathematically Al Noor should be down. And the reason for that would be operational leverage. Amongst a couple of other things, it would hinge on that. But in the longer term, we'd expect, and we would present this as one economic unit, and we would expect the margins to return to where we think they should be.
Okay, so it's not a long term structural issue in Al Noor; it's a sort of shorter term.
That's not what we're seeing at the moment.
We are not in that space at all at this stage.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Thanks, guys.
Thank you, Avinash.
Our next question is from Steve Manner from Apax. Steve, please go ahead.
Hello, Donnie and Johannes. So in terms of your reduced expectations, can you just maybe remind us what were your expectations on the top line?
Steve, thank you. The guidance we gave was for the combined Middle Eastern business to have revenue growth of low double digits, and we gave the margin of between 20 and 21% for the combined.
Okay. So it's sort of, call it 3 to 5% lower revenue.
You can do those sums. I don't need to do it. I haven't a calculator and I'm not a financial guy.
Okay, thanks, guys.
Operator, could I ask, could we take one or two final questions before wrapping up and we can take anything else offline?
Of course. Our next question is from Mark Wadley from Visio Capital. Mark, please go ahead.
Thank you, Dani and Jurgen. Actually, your questions and clarifications around the EBITDA decline have answered my question fully. Thank you.
Thanks, Mark.
Thank you, Mark.
Our next question is from James Vane-Tempest from Jefferies. James, please go ahead.
Yes, thank you. Good morning. Thanks for taking my questions. Just two, if I may, please. Firstly, you talked about some of the non-core disposals. Just wondering what other businesses Al Noor has which potentially you could consider non-core and dispose of. And then secondly, just to come back to the question on some of the local environment and prospects given the copay. I mean, how much pushback has the government actually had locally from patients and doctors? What are your business leaders telling you to these new copays? Are you finding them willing to engage with the industry, and do you see them see any prospects for change? I do understand it's relatively early doors. I'm just wondering what kind of reception there has been with various industry and lobby groups. Thank you.
All right, James, starting with your last question is we've seen some willingness from competitors to sort of join forces to talk to the government because we do have some common views on it. And the local management are busy lobbying to see how we can tackle this. And they're busy with that process. But as you rightly said, it's fairly new.
And it was Ramadan and summertime and a lot of people on leave. It is now Eid holiday until Wednesday next week. But I can't give you a hard sort of feedback on the pushback from individual patients. The management are monitoring that. They are engaging with people inquire but then ask about the co-payment. The one thing that I must make clear, it will be seen as illegal if you waive the co-payment. And we like to play according to the Queensbury rules. So, and the logic for that is the government wants to disincentivize overuse, because it is also true that the Tikka people with the rich benefits, no contribution, fully paid by government, the natural human behavior is if anything is free, you can maybe abuse it. So I haven't got a problem with what they try to reduce. But when it comes to inpatients, where a patient cannot choose whether they want a heart bypass to be done or a knee replacement to be done, and where the quantums will be significant, I believe on those areas we need to get logic around the table and apply our minds on how to drive it forward. In terms of the non-core business, as we've said, at the point of acquisition, their business model is very much aligned with us. Outpatient facilities and then the hospitals with more facilities to open that we elaborated to. So the non-core business that we're talking, and I don't want to identify the other one that is already sold, but we just need to sign. I'm worried about sensitivities, but the one that I gave you is a long-term care facility that is not in our traditional model. The others that we will have a close look at is some clinics with a lower-end white card where the business model is not in line on what we do and we believe and believe it's sustainable for the long term. But there's nothing else that is major in terms of the portfolio that we will get rid of. Definitely not the hospitals and the normal standard referral outpatient clinics.
That's great. Thanks very much.
Operator, do we conclude with that?
Yes, of course.
Yeah, then from my side, thank you all for your interest and your time. And we are committed, as we've said, we are very positive about the long-term prospects. We've got a very energetic team there. I think a lot of you guys visited them recently. It is a headwind that we need to manage, but we are not disillusioned. And most important, our growth strategy by doubling our size in Abu Dhabi with the acquisition, we're very comfortable, and we still believe that was the right strategy. So thank you and wishing you well.
Thank you very much.
Thank you for joining today's call. You may now disconnect your lines.